Todd Taylor says many rural Minnesotans would be shocked if they knew just how much drug traffic was flowing through their backyards.
You can get whatever you want, wherever you want in this state.
Taylor is a drug agent for the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. He says marijuana has long been the drug of choice in small towns, but now the rapid growth of an underground methamphetamine industry is bringing the darker side of the drug world to rural areas. When agents recently busted a small town meth lab, they were puzzled to find a dog in the backyard stabbed to death.
And come to find out that this individual was noticing the dog was looking at him, and he thought somehow the police had bugged this dog, so he took the dog out and stabbed it. Then he brought his young child out with a knife still in his hand and told the child, "See what happened to that dog? That's what's going to happen to you if you talk to the cops."
Taylor says no one knows how often scenes like this have played out in small towns or country homes. Narcotics agents say there's no way to know how many meth labs go undetected, but they admit it's likely they see only the tip of the iceberg. In 1993, there were 3 methamphetamine lab busts in Minnesota. Last year, 111 labs were raided. More than half were outside the Twin Cities, where only 1/4 of the state's residents live. Todd Taylor says drugs are more easily available because drug dealers are moving their stash houses, where they store their drugs, to small towns.
They have found if they take their stash and go out to the rural areas, it's safer out there because there is not the police presence in the rural areas that you have in the cities.
Police in St. Cloud and Moorhead recently stumbled on a drug distribution operation set up by members of 2 Chicago gangs and made several arrests. But agents say it's difficult to work undercover in a rural area because a strange face immediately attracts suspicion. Most dealers won't sell to anyone who hasn't been cleared through a network of friends. North Dakota State University criminologist Tom McDonald says if unchecked, methamphetamine could dramatically alter the social fabric of rural areas.
I think the meth has some signs, at least right now, of growth and spread, similar to what happened in our urban areas, our urban ghettos, in terms of crack cocaine years ago, particularly during the 1980s.
Drug enforcement resources are often limited in rural areas. Many counties have pooled their money and formed drug task forces. 3 or 4 deputies may team with state and federal agents to cover a half dozen counties, but in some areas, there are fewer narcotics agents than there were 15 years ago. Sheriffs and small-town police rarely benefit from special federal crime-fighting funds, which are generally targeted at large urban areas where most people live. A recent decline in urban drug traffic has caused federal and state policymakers to shift their focus and funding to other issues. A poll of more than 400 rural Minnesotans, recently conducted for Minnesota Public Radio, found 74% of those surveyed believe drug abuse is a serious problem. A majority of those polled also listed crime as one of the top 2 issues in their community.
In many small towns, if you want to know about the local drug network, the high school is a good starting point.
You just ask certain people and they have whatever. Alcohol, weed, Ritalin, codeine, a lot of stuff.
We go out, get drunk, come back, go to sleep, skip school, smoke some more pot. It's just everyday constant, you know, just I forgot I was even doing it sometimes. It was so natural to me.
They just kept denying that I was using, and they found weed on me, and my mom just flushed it down the toilet and tried to make a joke out of it.
All of these teens have been in trouble at some time for substance abuse, yet say it's very hard to quit when all your friends are using. A recently published national study says rural teens are 104% more likely to use methamphetamines and 70% more likely to get drunk than their urban counterparts. The most common reason? Boredom. Rural Minnesotans polled for NPR believe underage drinking and drug use are serious problems in the state's rural communities. A strong majority say drug and alcohol abuse and a lack of parental control are the main causes of crime in their community. On a Saturday night, a Clay County deputy stops a pickup truck for speeding. Inside are 2 teenagers headed for a lake cabin with a 12-pack of beer and 2 bottles of hard liquor. The driver tells Lieutenant Matt Cirrus he stole some of the alcohol from his dad, The rest he got from a friend.
Well, let's just start over. Is it something you want to tell me? Let's just cut to the chase. If you don't want to tell me, then you're not going to tell me. You don't have to lie through your teeth about where you got it from. It all looks new. It's all in new bags and stuff, so where'd you get it at?
Lieutenant Cirrus is unsuccessful in finding out who bought the booze. The teams haven't been drinking, so they get off with a ticket for being a minor in possession. It'll cost them $80 and, Lieutenant Cirrus hopes, lead to a serious conversation with parents. But counselors say too often teens face no parental consequences. Substance abuse counselor Lisa Vig says kids and adults deny substance abuse is a problem. In some cases, parents sanction alcohol at parties and argue since kids will drink anyway, it's safer if they drink at home. She says because many adults drank when they were young, they view teen drinking as a rite of passage. It's what teens do. Vig says while drugs remain largely underground, alcohol is often celebrated as part of the historically rough and tumble rural life.
It's so much more socially acceptable to sit around and have a couple cigarettes and a few beers. You just don't take a needle and inject cocaine or smart cocaine. I mean, there's a very clear separation, I think, in the minds of most people from rural communities that alcohol is not a drug, it's a beverage. And a drug is something that you do when you live in Chicago or Minneapolis.
That may be the perception, but a U.S. Department of Justice report says drugs or alcohol are used by 75% to 80% of criminal offenders. And law enforcement officials around the state draw a clear connection between alcohol, drugs, and crime. Minnesota sheriffs estimate 80% to 90% of the cases they investigate involve substance abuse. People are either high when committing a crime or they're stealing to support their habit. Often those cases involve property crime. Teenagers stealing alcohol recently smashed their way into 24 northern Minnesota lake cabins. Authorities recently solved a series of burglaries in one rural county when one young man drowned while fleeing police. A second suspect killed himself. The sheriff says the burglaries help support a methamphetamine habit.
Burglar alarms are becoming more common in isolated lake cabins and rural farm homes. Margie recently installed double deadbolt locks and a burglar alarm in her northern Minnesota lake home after thieves broke into a storage shed and smashed a window while trying to get into her home.
Well, you feel really violated. It was very disconcerting. I felt much better after I had the security system in. Much better.
Margie says she's most concerned about protecting her property, less concerned about her personal safety. Many of her neighbors apparently feel the same way. Rural Minnesotans polled by NPR are three times more concerned about property crime than violent crime. That sentiment is also reflected in what Becker County Commissioner Carolyn Engebretson hears from constituents.
They're not talking violent crimes. They're talking about break-ins or losing their car. And sometimes it's because they've left the keys in their yard, but we used to do that. And so that's a new concept that's also coming to rural people, that maybe they should be locking their doors. And that the very act of locking your doors means that you're not safe.
It's easy to understand why rural residents don't feel as safe, says Joe Donnermeyer. The Ohio State University sociologist says rural communities have changed dramatically in the past two decades. Main Street used to be a place where people lived and worked. Now, a growing number of residents are commuters.
And so therefore, you do have a greater apprehension at a vacant home as you're all day at work, as you pick up your kids at the consolidated school, as you drive 45 miles to that nearest shopping mall. All of that lifestyle of commuting makes you more vulnerable to crime.
Donnermeyer says fear of crime starts a vicious cycle. People withdraw from interaction with neighbors they no longer know or trust. As they become more isolated, the entire community becomes more susceptible to crime. Yet, even as many rural residents lock their doors and close their blinds, Donnermeyer says national research indicates there is a clear tendency among those residents to resist the notion urban crime is coming to rural America.
The belief among rural people that they do live in a better place than urban people. More green space, more open area, more privacy, and a belief in less crime. And those values that rural people have do lead to some denial about the issue of crime in their communities, because to admit that is also to admit that you have characteristics of many urban communities, and that's not where you want to live if you're a rural resident.
Denial, alcohol, and drugs all contribute to what may be the most underreported violent crime in rural Minnesota. Domestic violence.
It wasn't until I finally left them that I started realizing that many of my neighbors were battered women, but it's like everyone's afraid of their husband, and so people don't come out and talk about it.
Becky is a 47-year-old mother of four. Because she fears for her safety, she asked us not to use her real name and to change her voice. Becky was pregnant when she married her first husband, Kurt, 26 years ago. They moved to a remote northern Minnesota farmhouse with no electricity or running water. It was 10 miles from the nearest town. Kurt was an alcoholic who kept Becky isolated, penniless, and battered for 7.5 years. Becky says she tried several times to reach out for help, but when a social worker came to see her, Becky changed her mind and hid her problems. The violent beatings continued, often triggered by a crying baby.
He was beating my breast, and I was nursing, and I went over to protect my breast, and then he beat my back, and he pounded it so bad, I don't know what he did to my muscles, but I was like paralyzed, because I couldn't move, I couldn't turn over, I couldn't stand, I couldn't move my head, and I was very scared. I thought, you know, this is it for life. I'm never going to move again. And what's my baby going to do? I can't even pick my baby up.
Becky's story is not uncommon. A 1998 study of domestic violence in rural Minnesota found nearly 4 in 10 women were beaten. Abused women are often unable to call 911 because they can't get to a phone or may not have one. Since neighbors live miles apart, no one hears the violence, so no one reports it. Some women are afraid to call for help. They fear what will happen to them in the 20 to 30 minutes it takes for a sheriff's deputy to get there. When the first deputy arrives, he's likely to face a potentially violent scene alone. In many cases, the nearest backup may be another half hour away. Some rural counties may have 4 or 5 deputies on the road, others only 1 or 2.
Go ahead, Sound High. 10-4.
On a typical night in Clay County, it's not unusual for a domestic, a bar fight, or a traffic accident to occupy all 4 deputies for several hours. Sheriff Larry Costello says that means other crimes, like drunk driving, don't get the attention they deserve. By comparison, in neighboring Becker County, DWI arrests jumped 40% last year after the county received a grant to pay deputies overtime to target drunk drivers. Clay and Becker counties are not isolated examples. DWI arrests in rural Minnesota vary widely by county, but experts say in general, a higher percentage of people drink and drive in rural areas than in big cities.
Drunk driving is one of the reasons many Minnesota county jails are bursting at the seams. Cracking down on drunk driving means more people serving longer sentences. Becker County Sheriff Tom Hunt says in his county, more than 100 convicted criminals are waiting for an open jail cell.
It causes a lot of sleepless nights. We have people that call in weekly to try to get in and serve their time, and they only may have a couple weekends or whatever. And we try to accommodate those people. And some people just forget about us and don't call anymore, and then we have to issue a warrant. We do have room to go out and pick them up and remind them, sorry, you do have time to spend. So it's very frustrating, it's very time-consuming on the jail staff. It just drives them nuts.
The average daily jail population in Minnesota is about 5,200, or twice what it was in 1985. Many counties say they need new jails, but can't afford them. County sheriff department and jail budgets are up more than 40% since 1993. Statewide, counties spent nearly $600 million last year on public safety. Despite recent high-profile cases in rural Minnesota, violent crime is down in most counties. But the public is demanding tougher penalties for crimes like drunk driving and juvenile offenses.
You know, it's really costing money. And it's property tax dollars.
Becker County Commissioner Carolyn Ingebretson is president of the Association of Minnesota Counties. She says it's frustrating to watch budgets for crime and punishment eat up so much revenue, there is little left for programs that might prevent crime.
It's double dipping almost into the tax dollars because prevention is going to cost money, but so is taking care of the problem that you didn't prevent. So you don't see the results of prevention until down the road, and people want immediate results, which might mean locking the person up.
U.S. Department of Justice research indicates alcohol or drug abuse are implicated in more than 70% of all crime. While Minnesota counties spent nearly $600 million fighting crime last year, a small fraction of that is spent on drug and alcohol prevention and treatment. Programs are scattered through various state agencies, and no overall numbers are readily available. But an examination of agency budgets indicates about $80 million is spent on drug and alcohol prevention and treatment programs. Counties spend 10 times that amount fighting crime. There's often a waiting list for access to treatment programs, and in rural areas, the closest program may be an hour or two away. While violent crime rates continue to fall nationwide, some say rural crime may not follow that trend. There is less crime when economic times are good, but some experts predict if drug traffic continues to spread to economically depressed rural areas, the result will be a jump in violence that will shock and frighten many residents. Sioux Falls psychologist J.C. Chambers shares that concern.
It's just that nothing big has popped off in the news, you know. But we know that there's sort of this simmering, kind of like a crock pot. There's this sort of simmering going on, and that this violence and drug use is the silent poison that's eroding our community. And we have to go public with that.
Many people say they live in rural Minnesota because it's a quiet, safe place to raise a family. But that image may be changing. 44% of residents recently polled by NPR think crime is rising, while half that number say there's less crime. Rural crime may not be headline-grabbing drive-by shootings or street-corner drug deals, but it is the increasing violence of hidden drug use and drunk driving, more property crimes, and an alarming rate of domestic abuse. It's a quiet violence, and if it's not acknowledged and confronted, it may destroy the tranquility that rural Minnesotans treasure.